Hey, I hope you guys are having a good day. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent Black people. Today, we're going to talk about Roe versus Wade. I'm not speaking about Roe versus Wade as a pro-choice or pro-life person. I'm probably more pro-choice than anything because I believe everybody has a right to choose. But I also believe that Black people, especially intelligent Black people, also have the right to be informed. And so we're going to talk about rights, and I'm going to give you a history of Roe versus Wade. I read the whole history of Norma McCorvey, the woman that's behind Roe versus Wade. It blew my mind. It shocked me. And I feel it is my responsibility to share with you what I just read. So get comfortable. Buckle up a seatbelt. We're going to get started on DrBoyceTV.com right now.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to coach side for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent Black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I want to say hello to everybody. Sean Vernon, Rudy, Karen, Investors Wire, I see you. What's going on Instagram? My Instagram is The Real Boyce Watkins, so feel free to follow me on Instagram. If you like to be challenged, if you believe in critical thinking, then this is the place to be. If you are stuck in your ideas and stuck in your values and stuck in your belief systems, then I don't know what I can do for you. So let me just hop in. Shout out the city that you're from also. Let me know what city you're from. I see Cynthia from Flint Town, Carolyn from Florida. Let's see here. Nate says, I thought this was common knowledge. Actually, Nate, it's not common knowledge, the topic we're going to talk about today. Maybe I'm uncommon in the sense that I didn't know all these things. I'm going to tell you all the truth. I really felt the need to share what I read. As I talked to you, Sean Vernon from Atlanta and Naima Muhammad from New York, I just felt like I wanted to read to you what I read and let you make your own decision. One thing I want to make really 100% clear is that we don't do the left and the right versus right thing. We don't do Democrat, Republican over in here. We're B1. B1 means Black first. Black first means that the best thing I can do for you as a person in my community is to share information with you and to encourage you to think critically for yourself and to encourage you to question everything. Because we know that the world is full of propaganda. Give me a yes or no if you feel that media has gotten ridiculous and that they want to tell you what your opinion is supposed to be. They don't allow you to formulate your own opinion. They don't give you the facts. You know, my wife is a professor, and she's also a therapist and an expert on the subconscious mind. And she says that they program you all the time everywhere. They don't want to give you facts. They don't want you to make your own choices. They want to tell you what to believe in. And so I was thinking about Roe versus Wade a lot because I was in New York City and there was a big parade of people that were upset about the Roe decision, and they were marching through the streets of New York, getting arrested and everything else. And the kids, you know, the kids were intrigued and they kind of followed behind the parade. And my daughter, she had an interest in it, and I didn't stop her from being interested. I didn't tell her what her opinion was supposed to be. I just said, I need you to make sure you get all the facts so you can formulate your opinion and not let somebody indoctrinate you into their belief system. So I want to start off the conversation by saying, I don't really know if I'm pro-life or pro-choice. I'll probably say that I'm probably pro-choice. I believe you can actually be pro-choice and pro-life. I believe you have a choice, but I hope you choose life. That's what I believe. I believe that it's okay to give you a choice. I'm not a person that's going to go out and say, we need to make a law to force everyone to do what we want to do. I see that as a form of tyranny. But at the same time, I also understand when people say, the states should have rights to have a choice. And from what I understand, again, I'm not a legal expert. I'm not an expert on this Roe v. Wade issue. None of that. I'm really more interested because I was in that category of having a poor single Black mother who was 17 years old when she gave birth to me. They told her to abort me. They told her to get rid of me. They told her that, you know, you don't have enough money to have a baby, and it's going to be easier if you just get rid of this child. And my mother, because she's a religious woman, she went to church and she said, I'm going to give this baby to God because I believe God has a plan for this child. And lo and behold, you know, 50 years later, me and my mother have had a great relationship. In fact, I think my mother's in this podcast. How you doing, Mama? All right. So here's what I want to talk to you guys about. this is what led me to do this conversation. You guys know I'm a financial guy and an economics guy, but you can't talk about Black wealth without talking about Black family. The Black family has always been consistently under assault for a very long time. Birth rates, things like that, that does matter. Family planning, Planned Parenthood does matter. And when I think about Planned Parenthood, I'm talking about planning what kind of parent you want to be. When I talk about Planned Parenthood, I'm talking about planning when you're going to have kids. When I talk about Planned Parenthood, I'm talking about planning who you're going to sleep with. You know, don't sleep with somebody who's going to give you a baby and then leave you in a situation that you're going to regret. Right. So to me, the plan starts everywhere. Right. The plan starts with every single move you make. So I do believe in Planned Parenthood. I am probably pro-choice, but I also wish that we consider choosing life and would not say things like, oh, you should get rid of the baby, terminate the pregnancy because you don't have enough money. I'm a financial expert. Nobody, very few people know more about money than I do. I have a doctorate in finance, and I can tell you things about money that will blow your mind. And let me just tell you this. You should never, in my view, end a friendship over money. And you should, in my view, never, how can I say, I'm not telling you anybody what to do, but it hurts my heart to hear that a child did not deserve to live because, you know, the mom didn't have an extra $1,000 a month to pay rent and bills. I get it. I understand financial struggle. I grew up poor, but I would have rather have been poor than to have been dead. Right. So that's just, but that's my personal perspective. I'm not going to impose that on you. You can have whatever perspective that you'd like to have. So let me go into what I was, what led me to do this podcast today. And if you could take 1 second, please hit the thumbs up button, thumbs up, share, subscribe. Also, if you have an interest in Black wealth and things like that, we do that all day long, every day. You can go to BoyceWatkins.com. There's free resources there. You can get a free copy of my book, all kinds of stuff. All right. So I read about this Roe versus Wade case. I was really fascinated. Now, call me a dummy, an idiot. But I'm assuming that there are other people who didn't know what I read. And I saw a comment from Faye Bishop. Shout out to Faye Bishop. Faye made a comment where she said that the Roe versus Wade case was based on a woman named Norma McCorvey. She was Jane Roe. And Jane Roe, she said that it was based on her wanting to get a procedure. I'm not going to use the A word because I'm sure the Google algorithms will pick that up or whatever. And she wanted to get her procedure done. Because she went and she lied about being raped by a group of Black men. She lied about being gang raped by Black men. That got my spidey senses up. I said, what? No, you know, like a puppy. I'm like, what? What did you say? So I had to go. I looked it up. I'm researching. I'm like, no. No way I missed out on this little fact. No way. I mean, I knew about Margaret Sanger and all the things Margaret Sanger did. You should probably look that up in terms of her plan to use Black pastors and stuff like that to get Black people to have less babies, because she felt, generally speaking, it seemed that population control meant that the undesirables should not be having children. And y'all know what it is. 100 years ago, Black people were always seen as the undesirables, right? So there's the Margaret Sanger history. I was somewhat familiar with that. I did not know the history of Roe versus Wade. And how many of y'all, give me a yes or no in the chat. How many of y'all knew that the original Jane Roe, like her whole case was built around falsely accusing Black men of raping her, that she was trying to get a legal procedure done. And in Texas, I guess the only way you can get it done is if you say somebody assaulted you. And she literally, her friends advised her, like, hey, if you say Black men did it, you know, because, you know, of years for things we did not do. They burned down Black Wall Street because a Black man was accused of committing the unforgivable crime of touching a white woman. And then they went and they killed 300 people and they did not pay us for that. Right. This has been something that's consistently happened. And so here's the thing. Here's what got to me. I said, how is this lost in the narrative? Why is it that, you know, when we're talking about Roe v. Wade, and again, I'm not telling you what to think. You can have whatever opinion you want. Seriously, I really am okay. Pro-life, pro-choice, in between, it's up to you. I want you to make that decision. I'm not going to make it for you. But why is it that we can be so sensitive? Pay attention now. Why is it that we can be so sensitive to the rights of white women and feminists or Janelle Monáe and, you know, her white allies? We can be so sensitive to their rights, but not sensitive to the rights of Black men, that we don't give a damn that there were probably going to be, y'all know what it is. When they claim a Black man committed a crime, what do? They go and they round up Negroes. They'll go find somebody and say and pin the crime on them and send them to prison to be beaten, to be raped, to be tortured for the next 30, 40 years. And don't nobody care. But everybody's got all this sensitivity to what a white woman goes through. Oh, she had a hard childhood, and somebody was mean to her, and that made her sad. And we got all this empathy for that, but we ain't got no empathy for what a black man goes through. Well, you know what? Maybe this is what we've got to understand as black people. I'm convinced of this fundamental fact, and I'm going to read some information to you about Roe v. Wade and give you background and stuff. So, again, you can do what you want with this information. It floored me when I read it. But maybe it's not white people's job to care about us. Maybe we should stop waiting for white folks to decide that black people deserve empathy. Maybe we need to care about ourselves. Maybe we need to stop waiting on white folks to tell us Black Lives Matter and start telling each other that Black Lives Matter. Because if anybody should have empathy for the life of a black man, it should be me. I'm a black man. I need to be first in the first line of defense. I'm not waiting on nobody. I'm not waiting around for anybody to tell me that the lives of black men matter when you're talking about falsely accusing men and sending them to prison to be beaten, raped, and tortured. So in that regard, I identify with the feminists. You fight for your rights. I'm going to fight for mine. That's what it's going to be. And so let me read some of this to you. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. If you're not familiar, you're watching drboystv.com, the home for intelligent black people. And this is where we encourage critical thinking. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. I'm not going to disown you. This is another thing too. Y'all, whoever's out here, any black folks out here where you're disavowing your loved ones or not speaking to your friends anymore because you're a Democrat and they're a Trump supporter, get out of here with that nonsense. Or you're a Republican and they're a Democrat. Stop being stupid. The politicians don't love you. Your family does. So that same Uncle Willie who says some stuff that you don't like, who's been showing up at the family barbecue, who changed your diapers when you were a baby, the idea that you're going to disavow him because these arrogant son of a bitch politicians have told you that you need to cut your relatives off if they don't believe what you believe. The only term that comes to mind, honestly, is that sucker shit. I'm sorry. I don't know why, but that's the term that you are a complete sucker if you are cutting off your loved ones because of what political affiliation they have. Get over your goddamn self. Kill all that selfishness and that ridiculousness. You look like a damn clown. Having your beliefs does not mean that you have to control my beliefs. Or me believing A and you believing B does not mean that we can't still find a way to settle our differences and sit down and eat some chicken together at the family barbecue. These politicians do not love you. They do not love you, but your family does. And one of the goals of these political figures, in my view, is to get you so riled up over their bullshit agenda that you start cutting off your parents, you stop speaking to your cousin, you start talking crazy to your own loved ones, you start running around holier than thou, like you know the truth and nobody else does. Don't nobody want to hear all that nonsense. Humble yourself and learn how to listen to other people. So my challenge for you, my challenge for every intelligent black person in this room, and I hope you're intelligent, or at least if you want to be intelligent, I hope that that's why you're here, is I challenge you to go sit down with somebody who disagrees with you on a fundamental issue. And I challenge you to sit down and listen to that person and do everything in your power to empathize with where they're coming from. It doesn't mean you have to agree. I'm not telling you you have to change your perspective. I'm telling you that to me, the ultimate sign of your intelligence is, do you have the ability to sit down and hear somebody that disagrees with you completely on an important issue and hear what they're saying? If you do that, you are far advanced beyond the rest of America, because right now America is all about divide and conquer. And I don't know who's doing it. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if it's coming from external forces or internal. I have no idea, but I know it ain't working for y'all. It ain't working for black folks. It's not. Divide and conquer has never made a society stronger. So go do that. Give me a yes in the chat if you're willing to go consider doing that. They sit down with that person who disagrees with you, hear them out, and try to understand where they're coming from. Everybody doesn't have the same experience. You know, everybody isn't built the same. We have different things that we prioritize, right? So with the Roe versus Wade thing, I don't understand why, and I think maybe there are people out here who agree with me. I hope that there are. I don't understand why you can't sit down and be pro-life and then talk to somebody who's pro-choice and understand why they feel the way that they feel. You know, I don't understand why you can't learn from each other, because ain't no right or wrong. The reason that this is so divisive, this question. I get it all. I understand. I'm trying to, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a big fan of the procedure. You know, I'm not going to use the A word, but I'm not a fan of it. It doesn't gel well with my spirit. It makes me a little uncomfortable, you know, but I understand being in tough situations and or having a baby with an asshole and wanting to and not wanting to continue that process. I understand making. Yeah, of course. Why would you want to have a baby with someone who assaulted you? I get all that. I hear all that. Right. But I hope you also hear that on that flip side of that, there is an undeniably racist origin in this whole Planned Parenthood agenda. You go back and you read those words of Margaret Sanger, who's like their Jesus or something. I don't know. She said some things that should concern you as a Black person. Anybody, any of these Negroes at the BET Awards up here, you know, Planned Parenthood, woman's right to choose, my body, my choice, reciting what white women say. That's what you're doing. You're reciting, you're literally, it's like the white female is riding a horse and you the damn horse. You up here reciting their talking points instead of coming up with your own. And we're supposed to go along with that. We're not going along with that. That's weird to us. That's very weird. And so, but then again, maybe there's a reason that happened at the BET Awards. The BET is not a Black-owned company. BET is owned by Sumner Redstone and his family, and they're not Black, so they're going to pick people. They're going to pick Negroes to put on the pedestal who fit their agenda, right? They're not talking to regular Black people. They're talking to these weirdos out in Hollywood. And I've met a lot of them. I met Janelle Monáe, who was there. I saw her at the Breakfast Club. She was very weird at the Breakfast Club. I've seen some of these people. They're not you. You're not the same, right? So anyway, let me dig deeper into this. Let me keep going. Do me a favor, hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. I'm gonna read this, what I read about this lady, Norma McCorvey, aka Jane Roe. And you can make your own choice, but this is really fascinating, this story. Okay. All right. Let me know if you can hear me. Give me a guess that you can hear me. All right. So it says, now mind you, I'm reading from Wikipedia. So you may want to double confirm the information. It may, you know, I know Wikipedia isn't perfect, but I think it's a good source. There's good stuff here. All right. So it says, Norma McCorvey was born in Simsport, Louisiana, and spent her early childhood at her family's residence in Letchworth Point, Coupe Parish. Later in her childhood, the family moved to Houston. Her father, a TV repairman, left the family when Norma was 13, and her parents subsequently divorced. She and her older brother were raised by their mother, Mary, who was a violent alcoholic. McCorvey's father died on December 28, 1995. Her mother was raised a Pentecostal, et cetera, et cetera. And then her father was Jehovah's Witness. Yeah, well, y'all know what that is, right? Yeah. No disrespect to my friends in here who are Pentecostal, Jehovah's Witness, but sometimes when you get too extreme with that religion, crazy things start to happen. I've heard a million terrible stories coming out of the church. It's kind of sad. No disrespect to the church. No disrespect to the good churches. But that right there, Pentecostal, Jehovah's Witness. Woo! You got an interesting combination right there. Anyway, so McCorvey had trouble with the law that began at the age of 10. Now, this is Jane Roe, the Roe versus Wade case was built on. So she was a criminal at an early age. So she's a liar. She's not ethical. She's not a good person. She was going through stuff. She had a violent alcoholic for her mother. So you understand where that came from. She robbed a cash register at a gas station when she was 10 and ran away to Oklahoma City with a friend. They tricked the hotel worker into letting them rent a room and were there for 2 days when a maid walked in and her female friend kissing. So I guess she became she fell in this relationship when she was 10. When she, now pay attention, now how many of y'all think that's a little bit weird, you know, that a 10-year-old is robbing cash registers and traveling across state lines with her lesbian girlfriend? That right there tells you that you went for an interesting life right there. I'm sorry, I got an 11-year-old. And, you know, we watch Disney movies, you know, like she's at her dance competition right now. You know, if she were robbing cash registers and running across state lines with her lesbian girlfriend, I'd be kind of like, whoa, we might need a therapist up in here. Right. So that's a little bit out there. Right. And again, there's nothing wrong with being a lesbian. I'm not judging any of them. I'm not judging your sexuality. In fact, if you want to know my position on that, I just don't care. I don't care who you sleep with. You know, half y'all freaks anyway. So I ain't judging nothing about what nobody does in the bedroom. But sometimes I would prefer just we talk about something else. All right. So they said that. So McCorvey was arrested and taken to court where she was declared a ward of the state. Again, this is all 10, 11 years old. And a judge sent her to a Catholic boarding school, though she didn't become Catholic until 1998. Later, McCorvey was sent to the state school for girls in Gainesville, Texas, on and off from the ages of 11 to 15. She said this was the happiest time of her childhood, and every time she was sent home, she would purposely do something bad so she could get sent back. So that's prison culture. And that's what, I mean, think about this. Again, this is what Roe versus Wade was built on. This is the person. And I'm not, you know, I know some of y'all are going to get mad. Some people are going to be like there in their feelings and, you know, voices being a sexist pig by sharing information. No, I'm not. I told you I'm pretty much pro-choice. But I really think Black people need to know this. This is crazy to me. So she was a career criminal by the age of 10. She was caught up so much in the prison culture that she would go home and want to be sent back to jail. You know, some of y'all might have cousins like that who like it in jail because they can get food and all their friends are in jail or whatever, right? That's not healthy. That's crazy to me. So she keeps trying to go back to jail because she likes it there, and because she's got this raging, horrible, alcoholic mother at home. And they said, after being released, McCorvey lived with her mother's cousin who allegedly raped her every night for 3 weeks. And when McCorvey's mother found out, her cousin said McCorvey was lying. So she goes and lives with her mother's cousin who allegedly raped her every day for 3 weeks. And then, which is terrible. I'm this poor child. I mean, this is horrible. And when her mother found out, her cousin said that she was lying. So was she lying or not lying? I don't know. But I will say this just as a little side note. You'll stop not believing your kids. Like if they come to you with something that's going on, like don't just say like, oh, Uncle Willie would never do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. You got to listen to the kids. Right. So this is the origin of Norma McCorvey, the original Jane Roe in the Roe versus Wade case. She's a career criminal at the age of 10. She's trying to go back and forth to jail. She is doing things at the age of 10 or 11 that a lot of 30-year-olds would never consider doing, robbing cash registers and all this other stuff. So check this out. I'm going to keep reading. While working at a restaurant, Norma met Woody McCorvin, born 1940, and she married him at the age of 16 in 1963. She later left him after he allegedly assaulted her. She moved in with her mother and gave birth to her first child, Melissa, in 1965. After Melissa's birth, McCorvey developed a severe drinking and drug problem. Of course she did, right? Look at what this poor lady's gone through. So this is Jane Roe. So by now, Jane Roe is a drug addict and an alcoholic. This is not me being mean. This is me just reading facts to you. Soon after, she began identifying as a lesbian. In her book, she stated that she went on a weekend trip to visit two friends and left her baby with her mother. When she returned, her mother replaced the baby, with a baby doll and reported Norma to the police as having abandoned her baby and called the police to take her out of the house. She would not tell her where Melissa was for weeks. So Norma McCorvey's mother, again, the violent alcoholic, is now, I guess she's becoming the older grandmother, and she's concerned about the fact that her daughter, Norma McCorvey, who was the original Jane Roe, is now an alcoholic and a drug addict. So she's conspiring to take the baby away from her. And y'all know this happens in a lot of our families. Somebody gets hooked on drugs and the grandparents step in and take the baby, right? That happens way too much. That's why I think we should, as a community, we should have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to drugs. Don't mess with it. Yell at your kids about it. Talk to them about it as much as you can. Drugs have been the number one thing to ruin Black families in the last 50 years. I don't know a family where drugs was heavily involved, where there wasn't a lot of pain that came along with that. So drugs and alcohol, you got to walk away. You got to make sure, just, I mean, don't even mess with that. Zero tolerance. All right. So let me keep going. All right. So let's see here. So check this out. So here's what Norma's mother did to get the baby. She said, let's see here. She allowed McCorvey to move back in. One day she woke McCorvey up after a long day of work. She told McCorvey to sign what were presented as insurance papers, and she did so without reading them. However, the papers she signed were adoption papers. So she snuck and tricked her into letting her adopt the baby, giving her mother custody of Melissa, and McCorvey was then kicked out of the house. So she took her baby and kicked her out of the house. Her mother disputed that version of events and said that McCorvey had agreed to the adoption. So the following year, McCorvey, remember, McCorvey is the original Jane Roe. Give me a yes if you're following. I hope I'm not going too fast here. Let me know, yes or no, if you're following the whole story here. Okay, so this is the original Jane Roe, aka Norma McCorvey, and her origin story. Her origin story is one where she is at 10 years old. She's a career criminal. She is her mother's a violent alcoholic. She's getting pregnant several times by the age of 18 or 19. She's in a tough situation. You know, she by her teenage years, she's a drug addict and an alcoholic. And I say all this to you because these are facts, not because I'm pro-choice or pro-life. I told you guys I'm probably more pro-choice. So if you come in here and you get mad and you want to start slapping labels on me as sexist and a Trump supporter and all this other nonsense, I want to stop you right there and say that I empathize. I completely agree and understand with the pro-choice perspective. I don't agree with everything, though. I think that we have to have a more measured, intelligent conversation about these important issues as a community. White folks can be dumb. White folks can follow the crowd. The rest of the world can sit and get on the bandwagon. I want intelligent Black people to really think things through critically. So let's keep reading here. Let's look at this background. Okay, so Norma McCorvey, aka Jane Roe, so her mother takes her baby. Then she becomes pregnant again a year later with another daughter named Jennifer. Jennifer was placed for adoption. So her first baby was, now let me make sure I get this right. So her first baby was taken by her mother. The second baby she places for adoption. So she didn't want her kids. So now the Roe versus Wade of pregnancy was the third pregnancy. And I'm going to tell you this. It's really amazing how the story evolves. It goes out 40 years actually, where the daughter that she gave birth to in the Roe versus Wade case confronts the shit out of her mom 30 or 40 years later. It really blew my mind. This is how you see the whole picture in terms of how to frame this whole conversation. It really blew my mind. So let me just give you the background, and then I'm going to get to that, how this ended. So in 1969, at the age of 21, so she's born, let's say 21, 1969, she was born in 1948. So she's 21 years old, third child, 21. McCorvey became pregnant a third time and returned to Dallas. According to McCorvey, this is where Black men get involved. According to McCorvey, friends advised her that she should assert falsely that she had been raped by a group of Black men and could thereby obtain a legal procedure, I'm not going to use the A word, under Texas law, which prohibited most procedures. Sources differ over whether Texas law has such a rape exception. So the Roe versus Wade case, y'all need to just know this. And some of y'all, a lot of you may have known it. It may be common knowledge. It wasn't common knowledge to me. Faye Bishop shared it, and I looked it up, and I said, holy crap, I got to do a podcast about this. But the whole premise of the case was built around this woman, a career criminal, a drug addict, an alcoholic, pregnant with her third child by the age of 21, probably by different men, who is now, the first child was adopted. Mama took the child. Second child was adopted. She placed the child for adoption. So I wouldn't say that she's mother of the year. I hope you don't call me a sexist for saying this. It doesn't sound like she was mother of the year, but who can blame her? Her mother was a violent alcoholic, so she was pretty screwed up at an early age. So first child placed for adoption. Second child placed for adoption. Third child, she wants to abort because she is claiming falsely that she was raped by a group of Black men. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. You can't just gloss over this. You can't leave this in the fine print. This is a very big deal. And I encourage you Black people who really, if you really believe Black Lives Matter, you need to stop the presses right there. You need to pull the needle off the record at that point and say, what the fuck? You mean to tell me that all this stuff that y'all doing right now, everything that we're protesting, Janelle Monáe and all these Negroes at the BET Awards, what they're standing up for right now is a woman who was a drug addict, alcoholic, who pregnant with her third child that she didn't even want, who falsely accused Black men of raping her and was going to get some random Black men sent to prison for the next 40 years where they were going to be beaten, raped, and tortured. Maybe you need to find another rock to stand on. Maybe you need to find another case. Maybe you can find a case of somebody who legitimately was in a situation where aborting the fetus might have made more sense. Maybe you need to find something else. How in the hell are you going to defend a woman who basically was worse than the woman who killed Emmett Till? She was right there. Why in the hell are you standing on that? What is wrong with you? I'm not telling you to be pro-choice or pro-life. I'm not telling you what you should be Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. You can do whatever you want. But what I am telling you is I don't feel comfortable. I don't know about y'all, but I don't feel comfortable with this idea of our so-called leading Negroes on TV really jumping behind a case involving a woman who wanted to send black men to prison. That means you don't, that means you're so concerned about the rights of your white feminist allies that you don't give a shit about me. You don't care nothing about your black daddy. You don't care nothing about your black son. You don't care nothing about your black uncle. You know nothing about your black brother who was going to get sent to jail over some bullshit because a white lady told a damn lie. Do you know how many black men have had their lives ruined because a white woman told a story? Seriously. Find another case to stand on. This ain't it. This ain't it. This got too many holes. This has more holes than a fishnet stocking. This is easy. It's easy for your critics to criticize you because you're looking stupid right now. If you believe, if you're pro-choice, be pro-choice. But when you're up here talking about Roe versus Wade, that's so different. Let's look up the history. Let's look at the facts. But oh, I forgot. You don't like facts because facts don't fit your feelings. I get it. You're offended because these facts that I'm reading here, I'm literally just reading to you. I'm not making this up. These facts don't fit your feelings. So somehow I'm going to be the villain and you're going to attack a black man who simply says that it's wrong for this lady to want to send black men to prison for allegedly raping her when black men didn't do shit to this lady. This lady did everything to herself. Do me a favor, guys. Please hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. I need 1 second because I got to tell my assistant that we got a meeting in 7 minutes and I'm not going to make this meeting because we got to finish this conversation. We family's talking right now and I want to make sure we have the conversation that needs to be had. So if you could hit the thumbs up button, share, subscribe. Also, just so you know, my website is boycewatkins.com. So if you'd like to know more about the stuff we have going on, feel free to go to boycewatkins.com. If you're noticing that my tone is decidedly lower, it's because this is depressing the shit out of me. This is really depressing me. That I got to go out here and fight with certain black women just for my right to not be falsely accused of a crime, that you think it's okay to throw black men under the bus so you can make your point, you know, on abortion. I don't get it. I really don't get it. So give me 1 second here. All right. I'm going to be late for the meeting. Podcast is running over. All right. That's my message for Teresa. Teresa is my assistant and she's a wonderful lady and I'm letting her know what we're doing. All right. So let me keep going. Let's keep reading here. So Norma McCorvey, the original Jane Roe from Roe versus Wade, she's 21, third pregnancy, first two kids she got rid of. Now she's on the third one. She wants to abort the baby. So she lies and says black men raped her. Now, here's what it says next. It says, due to a lack of police evidence or documentation, the scheme was not successful, and McCorvey later said it was a fabrication. So she later confessed that she made it all up. Now, I want to ask you all the question, yes or no? Did she go to prison for any of that? Did she go to jail? Did somebody put her in handcuffs and say, hey, you can't do that. You can't go send black men to prison for nothing where they're going to be sent away to be beaten and raped? Now, remember, if a white woman gets harassed, raped, touched, whatever, they made Bill Cosby pay $500,000 for something that allegedly happened in 1975 in the Playboy Mansion, of all places, where everybody's having sex in the Playboy Mansion. But whatever, no proof, no nothing, right? But so did she go to jail for that? Yes or no? Did she get any jail time? No, she didn't. It's like, you're a white woman, so of course you can make things up and have black people sent away to be harmed and tortured. Okay, I get all that. I really kind of want you to really process this and understand how the propaganda has gotten into your brain that you have been taught. There's a study that shows that black people and white people believe that black people feel less pain than white people. There are studies that show that black people and white people don't have as much sensitivity to the pain of black folks. Because they say, well, black people are always in pain. It's okay. But when a white woman's in pain, everybody feels it. Everybody runs to save the damsel in distress. When the black woman's in pain, like when you have that one doctor, they called him the father of modern gynecology. He used to do procedures on black women's uteruses with no anesthesia because he said, well, they're slaves. They don't feel pain the way white women do. So he didn't do it on white women. And he didn't give them anesthesia because he figured black women don't feel any pain. So what you got to understand is that part of the reason that you have people that can gloss over this idea that she was going to send some black men to prison, that she lied about it and got away with that, that's driven largely because you believe black pain doesn't matter. If she, it's now pay attention now. if a man is accused, if Bill, when they talked about Bill Cosby allegedly doing things to women in 1975, that pretty much, from what I understand, have no proof, no nothing. Everybody's sensitive to the pain of these women. Gloria Allred holds a press conference. The woman starts crying with her white Becky tears, and everybody feels empathy for this person. So what I want you to understand is that one of the symptoms of racism in America is that don't nobody really feel your pain. Don't nobody hear your cries. When little black babies get shot in Chicago and their mothers are screaming and falling into depression because they lost their child, nobody hears any of that. And while they're simultaneously screaming that Black Lives Matter, nobody's really hearing that. So what I really just want you to sort of stop and understand is that part of the reason nobody hears your pain is because you're so focused on helping white people with their pain that you can't focus on your own. And so to me, the B1 philosophy, meaning black first, means that my pain's gonna matter before anybody else's. That when my little girls are crying, that's my focal point. I don't care that the neighbor's kids are crying. That when black people are struggling, that has to be the center of your attention, not what can we do for MASA or how can we serve the Democratic Party or whatever this stuff is, because we know for a fact these people don't care about you. So let me keep reading here. I'm reading about Norma McCorvey, the original Jane Roe in the Roe versus Wade case. So she got pregnant for the third time. First two kids were sent to orphanages, and the last one she decides she wants to abort. To get the abortion, she lies and says black men raped her. Later on, she admits that it was a lie. And it also says here, she attempted to obtain an illegal procedure, but the recommended clinic had been closed down by authorities. Her doctor, Richard Lane, suggested that she consult Henry McCluskey, an adoption lawyer in Dallas. McCorvey stated that she was only interested in an abortion, but agreed to meet with McCluskey. Eventually, McCorvey was referred to attorneys Linda Coffey and Sarah Weddington, who were looking for pregnant women who were seeking abortions. The case, Roe versus Wade, Henry Wade was the district attorney, took 3 years of trials to reach the Supreme Court in the United States, and McCorvey never attended a single trial. During the course of the lawsuit, McCorvey gave birth and placed the baby for adoption. McCorvey told the press that she was Jane Roe soon after the decision was reached, stating that she had sought an abortion because she was unemployable and greatly depressed. In 1983, McCorvey told the press that she had been raped. In 1987, she said the rape was not true. So this woman stuck with her rape lie for many, many years. And this is why I know that people get mad when I say that you need proof before you start sending people off to prison. I believe in equality. I believe that every woman is not going to always be telling the truth just because she owns a vagina. I've never seen anything in a woman's vagina or her estrogen that says that she is incapable of lying, just like a man can lie. And so my point is to say that I really find it fascinating when people use what I consider to be highly illogical slogans like believe all women. How can you say you believe all women? Is there something magical about being a woman that means you can't lie? Give me a yes or no. Yes or no in the chat. Are women able to lie? Do women lie? Is that, ladies, have you ever told a fib? Have you ever told a story? It maybe said something that wasn't true? Give me a yes or no. Let's confess. Man, let's be honest here. Like, how many of you have told a lie? I mean, do you believe women can lie? Or do you think that lying is only something men can do? And I bring this up because, again, remember, this is a platform for intelligent black people where I encourage you to critically think. I'm trying to really help you understand how stupid political groupthink makes you. You see, groupthink, psychologists say that 75% of all people will follow the crowd, even if the crowd is wrong. That blew my mind. I saw that. I said, whoa. So people are so caught up in trying to fit a narrative or trying to follow a group or trying to be committed to a party that even when the group is wrong, they'll still go with the nonsense. And sometimes it leads to stupid outcomes like, you know, believe all women. What if I was running around saying believe all men? Like men can't lie. We never lie. Men always tell the truth. That would be the dumbest crock of shit ever. If you believe some bullshit like that, then I need to help you because your IQ is probably in the single digits. Because you're a dummy. You're a dumb motherfucker if you believe some shit like that. How in the hell can you believe that because I'm a man, I can never tell a lie? How about you verify accusations I make, particularly when the consequences of those allegations are significant. If I'm trying to go and send somebody to prison for 30 years where they're going to be beaten, raped, and tortured, taken away from their family, lose all their wealth, lose all their dignity, be thrown in the pits of hell, shouldn't you verify some of that first just to make sure that it actually happened? Or are we so dumb as a society that we just think that doesn't apply? And you know what? My theory, honestly, is that I think that we just live in a society where it's okay to do that when it comes to Black men. You know, remember all these Me Too, a lot of these Me Too things, it comes down to people accusing Black men and they don't need any proof. They're like, oh, well, I need money, so I'm going to just accuse them of something. Nobody's going to verify anything. So, yeah, put me on the lawsuit too. I need some more money for crack, right? So anyway, let me keep going. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. All right, so here's what's interesting, right? So there was no police evidence, and McCorvey later admitted that she made up the rape story. McCorvey, a.k.a. Jane Roe, she attempted to obtain an illegal abortion. So this is a woman who did not want her child, right? And what's interesting here is I'm seeing a pattern here. This says her doctor suggested that she consult Henry McCluskey, who's an adoption lawyer in Dallas. So the doctor says, you don't want your baby. You want a procedure. Go to see this lawyer for adoption. So he's saying, look, you're going to have this baby. You need to go see this lawyer who can help the baby, you know, get adopted. And maybe some people would have handled it differently. They would have said, okay, just go to California. You can get an abortion in California, right? I don't know, right? So they send her to a lawyer, but pay attention. Now, this is interesting. So then the lawyer, though, instead of helping her get the adoption, the lawyer refers her to attorneys Linda Coffey and Sarah Weddington. Sarah Weddington and Linda Coffey were not concerned with the abortion. They were not concerned with necessarily her specific abortion, right? They weren't concerned about the adoption. They were concerned about an agenda. Their agenda was, we want to get these procedures legalized, so we want to use your specific situation to provide weight for our case. And what's interesting is that you got to pay attention in politics. In politics, when people are trying to push forward an agenda, they will use anybody that will push forward their agenda. I believe that the Black woman has been consistently used as a tool and as a resource and sometimes as a weapon to pursue the agenda of white liberal women. I believe that. And I believe Black men are used as well, right? We get used for different agendas too. So one thing you got to really think about, and this is something for you to consider as intelligent Black people, is you can't go through life, particularly as a Black person, where you're letting everybody just use you for whatever they want to do with you. You're not a hoe. You're not a hooker. You're not here for everybody else's amusement and engagement and for them to benefit. You get used everywhere in America. Just so you know, when you're Black, you get used constantly. You're getting used in the political system. They get you to go out and vote for politicians that don't give a damn about you. They use you when it comes to economics. They got you all trained as little babies to grow up and become employees for these companies that are going to let you die at your desk and leave no wealth for your children, but they're getting all the wealth in the world for their kids. They use you to go fill up these damn universities where they got some of y'all buried so deep in student loan debt that you can't even breathe. You can't even imagine a life without student loans because you know you'll never be able to pay them. You won't even be able to pay them when you get to heaven and the streets are paved with gold because the loan debt is so damn high. They use our athletes. They bring them to these big white universities where they make $1 billion a year off Black athletes, and the families get almost nothing because somebody decided it's wrong to pay a college athlete, which is the craziest crap in the world. I'm glad they're changing that law. They use you in the prison system. When you get locked up and you're stupid and you go commit crimes and you get sent away, next thing you know, they're charging you all kinds of money for phone calls, charging you $1 per sentence to use the internet or whatever it is, right? To use email. They're charging you. They have you out here working like a slave, making like $2 a day. I mean, come on now. Come on. In order for you to stop being used like a slave, you have to have the consciousness to say, no, you're not going to use me for your stuff. You're not using me. The only person going to use me is me. I own all of this. I go through this all the time. I have people that try to use me for stuff. Doc, we need to use you for blah, blah, blah. No, you're not using me. I need to critically understand exactly what I'm getting involved with because I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm not going to do it. Some of the most effective political leaders we've had might include a guy like the rapper Ice Cube. Let me tell you, I hope Ice Cube does not mind me sharing one thing that he said to me when we had a conversation that made me really respect him, because at that point, I wasn't really sure what his agenda was, what his objective was. But one thing Cube said that I really liked was he said, I'm not here for no click. I'm not here to be loyal to no group. I'm not controlled by any party. I'm here as a black man to do right by my people. And I said, man, okay, we can work now. We can work together now, because you're not operating. You're not a puppet. You are a living human being. You are a person that has obtained the agency in your own existence to know that whatever agenda you get involved with is going to be something that benefits you. And that is one of the core values of a B1 philosophy, Black First. That means your agenda is the agenda. Your family agenda is the agenda. The Black agenda is the agenda. All these other things that they get you caught up in, that's secondary. Secondary. And you only get involved if it benefits you. If it does not benefit you, you must ask why you're involved. So anyway, let me keep going. Do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. I'm going to read more here. So I'm reading about Roe versus Wade. Her name is McCorvey. Was it Mary McCorvey? What was her first name again? Norma McCorvey. Norma McCorvey, a.k.a. Jane Roe, Roe versus Wade. So at this point, her doctor refers her to an adoption attorney. The adoption attorney refers her to these other lawyers who got her involved in the famous Roe versus Wade case. So the attorneys, Linda Coffey and Sarah Weddington, were looking for pregnant women who were seeking abortions. The Roe versus Wade case took 3 years to reach the Supreme Court. McCorvey never attended a single trial. During the course of the lawsuit, McCorvey gave birth and placed the baby for adoption. McCorvey told the press that she was Jane Roe soon after the decision was reached, stating that she had sought an abortion because she was unemployable and greatly depressed. So, and again, that just a little quick note, this is the part about the procedure that bothers me, is it makes me sad when children don't get to live because somebody doesn't have enough money. This is where I do support the idea of creating more social programs to allow young mothers to get the resources that they need. In that regard, I probably sound like a socialist, but it's okay. Socialism has some good elements to it. But at the same time, I also believe in things like personal responsibility. So to me, when I hear a term like my body, my choice, that means that you're always making the right choices with your body, not just when it comes time to erase bad choices that you made when you got drunk and slept with a loser or did whatever it is that you did. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that choices require you to be strategic and intelligent. That's why, again, I'm anti-drugs, anti-alcohol, because that leads to bad choices, right? So good choices are everything. So let me keep going. So in 1983, she was still holding on to the narrative that she got raped. Now, mind you, the rape allegedly happened, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. But all the way up to 1983, she's saying, I got raped by this gang, this group of black men. She's holding on to that. And then in 1987, she says it's not true. Nobody charges her with the crime. Nothing bad happens. It's clear also that Norma McCorvey, the woman that this whole case was built on, was an unethical person. She was a criminal from the age of 10. She's lied, was on drugs, made all kinds of terrible choices. So she was a mess. So here's what it says here. It says in 2021, listen to this. This is heavy. This blew my mind. So now we're going to fast forward. Now we're going from the 1980s to 2021. This is when the baby grows up. This is the part that again, me being Uncle Boyce or being a dad, I hope it's okay if I do this. This is where I encourage you as a critical thinking, intelligent black person to look at the whole picture. To understand like why your choices, especially when you're young, matter, because those fucking kids grow up. Those kids grow up, and when they find out what you were doing when they were little, woo, it might be hell to pay for your ass. When those children grow up and they're like, wait a minute, mama, wait, I saw a video of you twerking and and having sex on the internet when I was two. What was going on, mama? Or daddy, you was out here thugging and throwing away my wealth. Like I ain't got no inheritance because you were stupid and you went to the Gucci store every week. What were you doing, daddy? What's wrong with you? Or daddy, why did you go around and get 18 girls pregnant? Now I don't even have a daddy because I got 1/18th of a daddy because your monkey ass didn't know how to control your goddamn penis. Kids will get mad about that shit. Kids will grow up and they become intelligent enough to look back and they're like, what was going on here? And that is when your chickens, That's when all the chickens come home to roost. All your chickens come home to roost when you're explaining to your 25-year-old child all the stupid shit that you did when you were young because you weren't critically thinking. So let me read what happened to Norma McCorvey when her chickens came home to roost. Her little chicken grew up. A fetus becomes a person. In 2021, Shelley Lynn Thornton, McCorvey's third child who was not aborted as a fetus because the court proceedings of Roe versus Wade took too long, stated that she was neither pro-life nor pro-choice. She grew up not knowing. She didn't even know that she was the fetus in the Roe case until her birth mother appeared on the Today Show in 1989 and talked about her desire to meet her daughter. So I guess she got rid of her daughter, sent her up for adoption. She goes on TV. She says, I'm Jane Roe for Roe versus Wade. I want to meet my daughter. In response, a journalist for the National Enquirer found Thornton as a teenager. So the journalist goes out, finds the baby, and told her about her prenatal history. So the baby's stunned. She's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait, I'm the child from Roe versus Wade? I didn't even know that. So when she finds out, this made her very sad. In 1991, Thornton, the daughter, this is the baby, became pregnant and did not have an abortion because abortion was, quote, not part of who I was. By 2021, she had met her two half siblings, but not her birth mother. So she met the other two babies that her mother put up for adoption. And she nearly met her birth mother in 1994. So she almost met her, but check this out. They had a phone conversation. This is the daughter of the Roe versus Wade, the daughter of Jane Roe, AKA, McCorvey. I keep forgetting, Norma McCorvey. So she gets on the phone with her daughter in 1994. And on the phone, according to Thornton, McCorvey told her that she should have thanked her for not having an abortion. So the mother says, you should thank me for not aborting you. Thornton's visceral reaction was, what? I'm supposed to thank you for getting knocked up and then giving me away? She told her birth mother that she would, quote, would never ever thank her for not aborting me. She reflected that, quote, when someone's pregnant with a baby and they don't want that baby, that person develops knowing that they were not wanted. So she's basically giving you the other side of the conversation that nobody else wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear how a child feels when they're 20 years old and they find out that their own mother didn't want them because they didn't know them. Because it's like, oh, it's just a procedure. I'm going to get rid. I understand. Again, I'm not here to make anybody feel bad if you've gotten the procedure done. I don't want to do that. I'm not here to add to whatever natural discomfort you might feel from the hard choice that you had to make. It's your choice. I am pro-choice in that regard, I promise you. But my Lord Jesus, can we at least have an intelligent discussion about this issue instead of acting like a woman's fetus is just, you know, like garbage that you throw out into the alley? Like, can we at least have a conversation that makes it a little more intelligent other than saying, well, you can't pay the rent this month, so you might as well go ahead and kill the little motherfucker. It'll be easy to just get rid of the baby. I mean, you know, and maybe you could make the argument, again, pay attention, you could make the argument to say, well, if she went ahead and done it, if she went ahead and got rid of the baby, then the baby wouldn't be here haunting her with these, you know, with these mean words saying, Mom, you let me know I wasn't wanted, blah, blah, blah. So maybe some would say it would have been better. Like, if you had just gotten rid of her, then you wouldn't have to deal with all this, right? Right? Because nobody wants to hear from a semi or almost aborted fetus. Nobody wants to hear from, again, think about this. The aborted fetus can't talk, right? So he's never going to grow up and say, wait a minute, what did you do to me, right? So it is the almost aborted child. And there's a lot of them out there. I promise you. I have a friend like that. I have a friend where the deepest, darkest secret in their family is that when her mother was pregnant with her, her father did not want her, and her father harassed the mother every day for weeks to abort the baby. Now the baby is like a teenager and loves her dad, hangs out with her dad all the time, wants to be around her dad. And God forbid, one day, if that child ever got even a whiff of the fact that her father worked overtime to make sure that she would never be born, that would absolutely crush her. That would absolutely crush her. My mother and I have had conversations about what she was thinking about doing with me. You know, when my mother was 17. I mean, she was 16 when she got pregnant with me. She didn't have no money. My daddy was gone. My daddy, don't even know the man. Don't you know the son of a bitch? You know, he died. I didn't even know him well enough to be sad or to be happy, or I didn't have any emotion. You know, I don't even know the man. And so you know, we talked about that. And my mother says, yeah, they would have, you know, I was advised to kind of make the problem go away. And for some reason, and again, this is what I think brings out her black girl magic, is that she has a relationship with God. And black women have a strong relationship with God. And I think that it's got to be really torturous to reconcile. In fact, studies show black women are the most religious group of people in America. So it's got to be incredibly torturous to reconcile that relationship with God with the relationship with feminism and some of those ideas that come along with that. It's got to be hard. You know, like you're going to church every day, you're praying, you know, you talk about life matters and everything. And then at the same time, this life is growing inside of you and you're like, I got to get rid of this baby. You know, exactly. You know, and I don't, I'm not here to tell anybody how to balance that, but that's a little bit weird to me, to be honest with you. I know lots of women who are, you know, card carrying heavy church going black women who also are liberal Democratic Party feminists. Who have one set of values when they're in church and a whole different set of values when they're outside of church. Because I doubt that your pastor would say, you know, yeah, the baby's here. It's going to be a nuisance. Get rid of it. Your pastor probably wouldn't say that. The Bible, I'm sure, I don't know anything in the Bible that says if the baby's an inconvenience, you should get rid of it. So, and the other piece here that's really interesting that doesn't sit well with my soul is this idea that fathers have no right whatsoever when it comes to deciding what happens with their child. That's the part that's so strange to me, because it's almost as if you're so determined to protect the rights of women that you trample on the rights of men. You know, and there's no way to change that. I'm not here to change the law. I can't do that. What I am here to say is, if I were advising men, I would say, don't you ever lay down and put your penis inside a woman who would abort your child without your permission. Because what's interesting is that we as a society have minimized the tremendous amount of pain. Remember, I told you about black pain. We don't see black pain, particularly black male pain. We don't understand what black men feel like when they go to prison and get beaten and raped. Nobody cares about that. We don't care about how a black male feels when his child is dead. He lost a child. Now, a mother loses a child. We get that. We know, oh my gosh, it's terrible. She's assaulted or anything like that. Right? We get it. We are taught to be sensitive to that, but we're not taught to be sensitive to how much it hurts these dads when they're like, damn, I wanted to have my baby. I would have raised the baby myself. And she felt that because she's a feminist with all these rights, that she could go abort my baby and not even bring me in on the conversation. That is... You know, I think that should be considered for what it is, which is a complete violation of that man's rights as a father. And that's almost like a type of assault. Like that's horrible. So the best advice I would say to men is, don't go laying down with women that would do that to you. You know, lay down with women that have fairness and common sense, that aren't going to use the stick of feminism to beat you upside the head and give you brain damage. You know, fairness does matter. And in politics, it's not fair. You know, it's a gender war. And it's mostly white people. This is mostly a white people thing. The men hate the women. The women hate the men. They want to destroy each other. They want to take away each other's rights. And I don't think that that's how black people are built. I think that black people, intelligent black people, good black people are individuals that say, look, just don't go around hurting me. Don't disrespect me. But I'm going to do everything I can to respect you, because I want to get along with you, because I know that as men and women, we got to find a way to coexist so that we can reproduce and build strong families, build a strong community, and make each other better. I really think that that's the spirit of black people. And I think some of us lose who we are because we don't know who we are. We never knew who we were in the first place. So you get caught up in the wave of stupid politics. And next thing you know, you're marching next to Becky and Karen and Susan, who don't give a damn about your black son, and you somehow have identified and internalized all this nonsense. You know, so I'm sorry, the Janelle Monáes and the women at the BET Awards, I just look at them, I say they're lost. They're just lost people. They're not, you know, and you think that they're like you because they look black and they sing and everything and they say the word black, but I don't think that they reflect the best of our community. That's my two cents. So let me read a little bit more. Do me a favor, hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. So this is the conclusion on the Roe versus Wade history. This is important to know the history. By the way, on Instagram, in 1 minute and 27 seconds, it's going to cut off. When it cuts off, I'm going to start the live right back up again. You can come right back in. It only lets me go for an hour. So I'm going to read this part about Roe's anti-abortion activism. So a lot of people don't know this, that the original person involved in the Roe versus Wade case, who built her case around falsely accusing Black men of raping her, whose daughter denounced her pretty much for even thinking about getting rid of her or whatever. She also became an anti-abortion activist. So a lot of people don't know this. I think this is important for people to know. So it says in 1994, McCorvey, this is the original Jane Roe, she published her autobiography, I Am Roe. At a book signing, McCorvey was befriended by Flip Benham, an evangelical minister and national director of the anti-abortion organization Operation Rescue. She converted to evangelical Protestantism and was baptized in 1995. She voiced remorse for her part in the Supreme Court decision and said she had been a pawn for abortion activists. Do y'all hear me? Did y'all hear what I just said? That the original person, that this is their leader, this is their Jesus-like figure, the original Jane Roe in the Roe versus Wade case said exactly what I've been saying to y'all for the last 40 minutes. She got used. She says I was a pawn. They threw me around like a $2 hoe. They used me for their agenda. These are not Boyce's words. These are the words that I'm reading here in front of you. So give me one second. Let me open up my Instagram again. Let me see here. Give me one second, guys. All right. Do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button if you haven't done it yet. Please do that. And also subscribe to the channel. All right. So let me go back here and hold on. So I thought that was really fascinating, that literally the sort of source of all of this, the person that you're protesting on this person's behalf, she literally steps out and says, I got used. I didn't want to be involved with this. And this tells you everything I've been telling you guys about this Democrat-Republican politics. They don't love you. These politicians don't love you. They will use you and manipulate you at every chance they get. So Norma McCorvey, the original Jane Roe, she basically said, you know, that I didn't want to be a part of this. And I was a pawn for the abortion activists. On August 17th, 1998, McCorvey was received into the Catholic Church. Let's see here. She released a second book called One by Love, describing her religious conversion. So she became religious, which isn't a surprise. A lot of people that are fighting drug addictions and stuff, they form a new addiction, a new religious addiction. So it's kind of interesting. In the book, she said that her change of heart occurred in 1995 when she saw a fetal development poster in an Operation Rescue office. In 2004, McCorvey sought to have the U.S. Supreme Court. So oh, wow, I didn't know this. So McCorvey, so she's like she's the banana in the tailpipe that they're trying to cover up. Like she's the drop of pee in the Kool-Aid that they're trying to filter out, because it sounds like she's been a real nuisance for this whole movement for a while. This is really interesting. So in 2004, McCorvey, the original Jane Roe, she went to the Supreme Court to try to get them to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's so fascinating. Saying that there is now evidence that the procedure harms women, but the case was dismissed in 2005. On January 22nd, 2008, okay, so she became a Republican and whatever. I mean, that's neither here nor there. I'm not here to endorse any political party. But this is really interesting. So I don't know. How many of y'all, like, are kind of floored by, like, all of this? Like, give me a guess. I was blown away. I did not know all of this. You know, I've heard different points of view, and I have friends that are on the right, friends that are on the left. I try to listen to everything, you know, to try to understand. And I didn't know. I really think it is sinister and disingenuous that there are so many facts about the history of this that they deliberately work to make sure that you never know. I think that's a problem. I think that anybody who blocks you from information that will help you make an informed, intelligent decision is typically not your friend. They are not your friend. So what I would encourage you to do, and I want to reiterate this point. If you are pro-choice, you are welcome to this conversation. If you are pro-life, you are welcome to this conversation. If you are undecided in the middle, that's fine too. That probably, that tells me that you probably thought about it a little bit more, because this whole topic is very complicated and it's very sensitive. You know, it's very sensitive what the women go through, you know, in these situations. I've seen it up close. I've seen a lot. Let me just say that I've seen a lot on both sides, to the point where I get that. But my Lord Jesus, as Black people, can y'all please at least try to have an intelligent conversation about this where you include all the facts, instead of jumping on one side or the other and then not listening to anybody who disagrees with you? The less you listen to the opposition, the dumber you become. That's just my two cents. I don't want you to be stupid. I want you to make the best decision for you. But at the end of the day, you know, I am, you know, again, I told you I'm pro-choice, and I believe in life, but I'm pro-choice because I don't believe in making laws to stop people from doing things. But at the same time, what I gathered from this whole decision is that they basically just put it in the hands of different states. The federal government has said, look, we're not going to legislate something for the whole country. We're going to let each state make their decision. I honestly don't see anything wrong with that. Look, if you live in Alabama, they're not going to be as comfortable with it as somebody in California. Well, shit, if I don't like it in Alabama, I'm going to move to California. That way you can do whatever the hell you want to do, right? I don't see anything wrong with that, right? So I think sometimes there's a lot of wasted emotional energy, a lot of fighting over things that I don't think you have to fight about. And I really want to encourage you as Black people, fight for yourselves, fight for your families, fight for your communities, fight to build your wealth, fight to get educated, fight to be strong as a people. Don't be fighting, you know, Miss Becky's fights. You've been doing that for 400 years. That's why they're winning, is because they got all their resources, and they got your resources too. Because some of you, nobody ever told you who you were, have committed yourselves to being pawns for somebody else's agenda. And as Jane Roe, Norma McCorvey, the original Jane Roe, as she said, which I agree with this, she said even herself, she was used as a pawn in this whole situation. So that, to me, delegitimizes everything. That says everything that you're standing on is as worthless as a box of rocks. You got to find a new case, because this ain't it. All right, guys, I'm going to go. Thank you guys for listening. I hope this conversation was helpful. I hope it was taken in the spirit that it was intended. It's not meant to be a pro-choice or pro-life discussion. It's meant to be an intelligent Black people conversation. And I hope I got that point across to you, because this is a sensitive topic, I know. And I'm not out here trying to, you know, don't get me wrong, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to have people say, oh, he's a sexist because he doesn't go along with our agenda. I say, fuck those people. I'm here to tell the truth, and that's what it's going to be. And that's all that there is to it, period. All right, guys, have a good day. God bless you. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. Also, you can go to boycewatkins.com, or you can click the link in the bio on Instagram if you want to learn more about investing. As you know, Black Wealth is my thing. And don't forget, on July 7th, I am going to be teaching the next Black Wealth Bootcamp on how to use stock options to generate income. So if you'd like to join us for that Black Wealth Bootcamp, just go to boycewatkins.com. The link is right there. All right, everybody, please have a wonderful day. God bless you. I will see you soon. And this was real. Talk to you guys later. Peace.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to coach sign for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Voice TV. Here we are.